Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. As you probably know, when we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we find that Paul is describing his own ministry, undoubtedly because it was being attacked by critics and false teachers who showed up in the city of Thessalonica shortly after the Apostle Paul established a Christian church there. And we are working through the items that Paul points to define his ministry, to describe it, and to remind the Thessalonians of its validity. And the first one is that it was effective. We talked about that on the broadcast yesterday, because what one person defines as effective may be very different from what another person defines as effective. And not everyone is evaluating it according to biblical standards, but keep in mind that when Paul is talking about the effectiveness of his ministry to the Thessalonians, he's appealing to their own experience of having been changed by the gospel that he preached to them. That's what he means when he says in verse 1, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." It wasn't useless, it wasn't ineffective, it was effective. And he's saying that not to people who are evaluating the size of the Thessalonian church by how many people are attending and so forth, as so often done today. But he's writing it to people whose lives have been changed personally and dramatically out of a culture of heathenism, paganism, immorality, idol worship, to becoming humble and sincere followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "That is the result of my ministry among you, as you well know. I'm writing to you, for you yourselves know, brethren, that my ministry to you was indeed effective." And they did. They knew it because of the way that it had changed their lives. That's what I mean by effective. That's what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he appealed to the effectiveness of his ministry. I pause to welcome you to this Thursday, March 28 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for considering the financial needs that keep this broadcast on the air. Well, you may recall that the second description of his ministry was that it was courageous, verse 2, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." It was courageous in the sense that he was willing to proclaim the truth at great personal sacrifice, at great personal danger, at the cost of personal suffering. That's what Paul has in mind when he describes his ministry and the courage that he demonstrated in his ministry. And again, I would just say how different that is from what we often see in the Christian landscape in America today. There don't seem to be too many Christians who are willing to suffer, to stand up courageously when it's going to cost them something. In fact, so much of the emphasis in our day is that if you will become a Christian, you won't suffer, you will prosper, you will be wealthier, you will be healthier, you will be happier. You don't need to suffer. Don't think about sacrifice. That's for losers. That's for people who don't have faith. Strange, but that doesn't fit what I find in Scripture. That certainly doesn't fit the ministry, the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, or of any of the apostles, for that for that matter, for all of them suffered greatly for the cause of Christ, but counted it a privilege to do so. They were glad to suffer for the cause of Christ. Now that'll separate the men from the boys, as we might put it in our day. How many Christians are willing to suffer for Christ? The ones who are the real Christians. But I move on. The third thing that Paul talked about was that his ministry was approved. And that's verses 3 and 4. And of course, we mean approved by God. But notice what he says. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. And what I find in this third one, this third word that describes the ministry of the Apostle Paul, namely that it was approved, that it was certified by testing, is three disqualifying factors that will demonstrate that a ministry is not approved of God because it has not met the test. One essential factor that must be found in any ministry that passes the test. And then finally, two evidences of God's approval. So there's quite a bit here in these two verses to consider. First of all, three disqualifying factors. And I will give them to you, then we'll go back and look at them one by one. But number one is error. Number two is uncleanness. And number three is deceit. Notice these in verse 3. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. So here's our three tests, three standards by which to evaluate the validity of a ministry as to whether or not it's approved by God. And the first one is it proclaiming truth? Or is it proclaiming error? Is the thrust of the ministry true or false? Is it in line with the truth of God's word, or is it not? Now, one reason why this particular factor is not widely considered today is because so many of God's people don't know the word of God well enough to be able to evaluate it. To evaluate a ministry according to the Word of God. We are so prone to evaluate ministries according to visible appearance of success and the way we feel about it. And so many times it's often a matter of emotions. We like this, we don't like that. We feel good about this, we don't feel good about that. I saw a post not too long ago on social media of someone who was warning other people about a particular book that has been widely circulated in Christian circles and just said, watch out, recognize that this book is filled with heresy. And it gave a link to a solid evaluator of such things where people could check and read the article that person had written that exposed this ministry as propagating many lies. But many people don't know how to evaluate it that way. They evaluate it by the way I feel about it. Well, I read the book and I felt good about it. I read the book and I liked it. Or I read the book and I got started reading it and I didn't like it from the beginning. And so I decided that it was not right for me. But you see, that's not really evaluating anything according to truth. It's not a matter of true and false, right and wrong. Sound doctrine versus heretical doctrine, but it is simply the way we feel. And that is so common that we've lost, I think, in many cases, the ability to be able to evaluate anything on the basis of truth versus error. But Paul said that his ministry was not in error, for our exhortation did not come from error. And that can only be evaluated by the Word of God. Did what he taught line up with the Word of God? Or was it contrary to the Word of God? Did it undermine the Word of God? Did it point people away from the Word of God? Did it endeavored to get people to trust in something that was not the Word of God. That's one very important test of the validity of a ministry that claims to be a Christian ministry. Is it true according to the Bible? That deserves our careful attention. But a second disqualifying factor, the first one being error, but a second disqualifying factor is what Paul calls here uncleanness. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness. And that word is used elsewhere in the New Testament for sexual immorality. And so I take it that that's what Paul has in mind here. Uncleanness, sexual immorality. How many times have we been stunned by the exposure of some minister of the gospel who has been found to be living a double life and been living a life of sexual immorality? It's far more common than it ought to be. But one thing we can tell, one thing we can discern, whether we know what's going on in the person's private life or not, is how do they talk? And I caution you about ministries that seem to have become popular in our day by the minister being edgy, by his being cool, by his telling off-color jokes, by his using suggestive language. And, oh, people think that, wow, listen to that. Oh, wow, that's really neat. That's really cool. Listen to him. The ministers, the pastors I grew up with didn't have the courage to talk like that. That doesn't take courage. That's just groveling in immorality, in uncleanness. Now, there's no way of telling by the kind of language that a pastor uses whether or not he is living an immoral lifestyle or not. That has to be discerned in some other way. But that's a caution flag. It's not the evidence of an unclean life, but it is certainly the evidence of unclean lips. The Bible tells us we are not to talk that way. We're not to use filthy language. We're not to talk about things publicly that are immoral and that are done in secret. This is not a matter of entertainment. This is not a matter of comedy. This is not something to grab people's attention, hold their interest so that now after we've done that and they're all listening, we can zap them with the truth that somehow this is the right way to go about ministry. Nope, that's an evidence of uncleanness, and the Apostle Paul tells us that did not characterize his ministry. And if that is common, if that is prominent, if that is evident in the life of a minister or in the public persona of a ministry, then that is a disqualifying factor. Such a ministry is not approved of God. It may be appealing to carnally minded people. It may be appealing to immature Christians. It may be appealing primarily to people who have never truly been born again, but who think they are Christians, but they really like the old lifestyle because they've never been freed from it. They really haven't been rescued out of it. So the first disqualifying factor is error. The second disqualifying factor is uncleanness. And we'll have to take up the third one, Lord willing, on the broadcast tomorrow. So please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.